Thank God. He is so good. He is so good. That's so important when we come together. That's so important, the status of our heart, when you come before Him and you're open and you're saying, God, I'm ready, teach me. There's something about that. Because you're saying, God, I'm open, and then He will bring light. And He will instruct us, and He'll show us. And then we have a choice. We can be doers, and we can always, if He shows us what to do, we can do it. He's not an unjust God. He will never say, you have to do such and such, but won't give you the ability to do that. He would be unjust. If you set your children up, or you set your employees up and said, all right, I want you to do such and such, and you don't give them the resources or the ability or the understanding to do it, then you're not a good leader, you're not a good parent, you're unjust. But He's not like that. And so if we go to Him and say, God, I'm willing. That's, you know, part of that, when we're joining together before service, it's an opportunity for all of us to come together, not only to agree on the Word coming forth, but to say, just to open our hearts and center ourselves up on Him and say, Lord, I want what You want. I want whatever You want for me. I want whatever You're going to teach me. So, Lord, pour it on me. And it's a heart condition. It's a heart. It's an expectation that You're saying the Word's going to come forth. And I expect the things that I need to come. And He always is faithful. But so much of it has to do with our heart. Our heart condition. And that's why two people can sit side by side in a service and one is just getting blessed and their lives are being forever changed and the one next to them standing there going, I don't see what the big deal was. You see what the big deal is? I don't know. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. And miracles could happen. Things, I mean, you could have a miracle happen a few feet in front of your nose and reject it. Pharisees did it all the time. They didn't care. They rejected. So we don't want to be like that ever, and we're not like that. And by us coming and saying, Lord, show us, then we're opening our hearts, and He works with that. He is so good, and He'll get us what we need. Thank You, Lord. So we're a group of people that are believers this evening. Thank God. Let's turn over to Romans 10. Pick back up. So we talked about how to turn your faith loose, and we touched on, so for a long time we were talking about believing with your heart, and then we turned into confession and talked about different forms of confession, and because there's a lot of confusion about confession. And we talked about the different types that were in the Bible, in the New Testament, and in the Old that were referred to, and spent some time there. We spent some time talking about confessing sins and what that means. And so we're going to go on. We wanted to get to how to turn your faith loose, and what we're going to be focusing on is for the next couple weeks anyway, is the confession part. So we believe in our heart, and we touched on this a little bit, but we're going to talk about it more in depth tonight. We've talked about believing in your heart, and faith needs to be in your heart, but it also needs to be in your mouth. Those are the two places that we need to have faith. It needs to be in our heart, and it needs to be in our mouth. God told Brother Hagin, my people are not missing it primarily in the area of believing. They're missing it primarily in the area of saying. And we need to release it. We need to speak. And that is a part of it. And it's not just secondary. Like, well, yeah, that's not really going to do anything. It's all about believing. And, you know, whether you say it or not, that's just a confession of what's in your heart. But that really doesn't get anything done. That's not true. We need to release it with our mouth, and we need to say the word forth. that affects things on this earth. We'll get into that a little bit. But let's start with Romans 8 or 10. Now, we've read this many times, but I don't think we've even scratched the surface of everything we can get out of these verses. Romans 10, verse 8 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart." Notice that. Where's the word? It's near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So notice, that's how we got saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now I want to read something in the margin of my Bible. It says the word confess there has the connotation of a binding declaration by which a legal relation is contractually established. I'm going to read that again. The word confess has the connotation or meaning of a binding public declaration by which a legal relation is contractually established. So when we speak something, we are establishing something on this earth. We're saying we agree with this, with what God has done and provided for us. We're saying we agree with it. This is a contract, and we're saying we're establishing this in our life. And this is the way we obtain on this earth. Now notice, what does it say in verse 10? "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now you could put anything in there. This is the way it works in the New Testament. The way you believed unto salvation is the same way you believe unto anything. Now, what does it say? You could put anything in here. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." You could say, "With the heart one believes unto healing." You could say, "With the heart one believes unto prosperity." And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Same thing. With the mouth confession is made unto whatever. Healing, prosperity, these are the power twins. You believe in your heart, you say it with your mouth, and it comes to pass. That's not something I made up. That's not something Brother Hagin made up. That's not something Kenneth Copeland made up. Let's turn back to, before we get going, we've put our eyes on these verses several times, but let's go back to Mark 11. Mark 11. 22. Mark 11:22. Everybody there? It says, so let's back up, actually read verse 20. Actually, you can go back, go to verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." So evidently, you know, people have written about this, that this type of fig tree, if it was showing leaves, it should have had fruit. So something was wrong. Somehow, it wasn't working the way it should be. "He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. And notice that. Now he cursed the fig tree. Now, people say, well, why did he curse it? He had a good reason. Why did he kill the fig tree? Well, number one, it appears that it wasn't working right. It was a bad fig tree. But number two, if he cursed it, he had a good reason for cursing it. And he's right. So one thing we need to settle, if Jesus did it, we say, yeah, okay. Don't get into, well, why did he do that? I don't understand that. It doesn't matter if we don't understand it. If he did it, it's right. Right? If you just stay on God's side, when somebody said that at Rhema once, just, you know, you look at all the stuff in the Old Testament, different things, and people will go, well, what? I don't understand that. What? You know what? Just the first thing is just stay on God's side. Well, I don't understand why God did that. Well, you know what? You may not understand why God did everything, but that doesn't mean you can't just jump to the place where you say, but it's right, and God is right, and I may not understand everything. God, bring up my understanding, but if he said it, if he did it, it's right. That'll solve a lot of things right there. You know, let your understanding catch up with him, but if we'll just stay on his side. Verse 14, in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again, and his disciples heard it. So they came into Jerusalem, and then verse 19, when evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, verse 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, at this point, when Peter said, hey, look, this is withered away. Now, if this were a lot of theology people that think they know theologians a lot and have brought forth doctrines, if they were writing this, it might have gone something like this. Yes, I curse the fig tree, and I can do that because I am the Son of God. Don't you try it. I could do it. I'm Jesus, the Messiah. But you are a different story. Don't try this at home. But that's not what he said. You notice what he said? Verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, his disciples, are we his disciples? Yeah, and number next, what does he say the next part of the sentence? For assuredly I say to you, whoever what? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, notice, believe is mentioned once in that verse. Say is mentioned three times. Saying is important. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, you need to say something to the mountain. You need to say something to the condition. You need to say something to the circumstance or the problem. Why? Because we're just crazy and we just want to go blab to something. You know, people say all kinds of things about this, but it's not Jesus said this. No teacher of today that's living today said this. Jesus said it. And he said, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say will be done, you'll have it. You will have it. But you need to say something. You do need. Why do you need to say something? Because it is a contractual agreement on this earth, you're saying, God, I believe what you've done, and I am giving a command. You need to speak to the problem so the problem can react to what you're saying. If it's in your heart but it doesn't come out, the problem, the item, whatever it is, does not hear you say. Turn over to Luke real quick. Luke 4:38. We're stirring ourselves up, looking at the word about saying. About saying. That the word needs to be in our heart, but that word needs to be in our mouth. Now, if you've heard this before, which many of us have, don't let this just go in one ear and out the other and say, I've heard this. We need to take it that it's the Word of God, and we need to make sure we're doing it. You know, if you've spoken in tongues or been filled with the Holy Spirit for 20 years, but you don't ever exercise it, it's not doing you a whole lot of good. It doesn't matter that you heard it 20 years ago. If you don't do it, if you don't exercise it, you're not enjoying the fruit of it. Well, you may have heard that you're supposed to say, but if you don't ever actually do it, it doesn't do you any good. We need to do what the Word says to do. We need to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. If we're hearers only, we're not going to get the results. And then we say, well, why isn't it working? Well, are we doing what God has said to do? Because there is a man part and there is a God part. If it was just God, then everything would just automatically happen. But it's not. And that doesn't mean we have to work up something, but it means we have to cooperate with what God has put in place. Right? And so this is one of those things. Look at verse 38. It says, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the devil. Is that what it says? No. It says he spoke to the mother-in-law and says, you be healed. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? He rebuked the fever. Did you get that? He spoke to the fever. Can a fever hear? Evidently. Because it left. It did. It went. Does a fever hear? I guess so. Well, if a fever can hear, can a pain hear? Can your body hear when you tell what has to happen? Yeah. We give a command and something happens. And when we're speaking the word of God, if God has said something into the earth and we take it and speak it out, then we are giving God's word place in our life and speaking something out for it to operate and to happen. This is marvelous. This is not some doctrine somebody made up. This is reality. Now, it may sound foolish to the natural mind and to the natural world, but we're not natural. We're not. I'm telling you, the world is getting further and further away from God and believing God. People are so, they have their minds so full of so many things all the time, constantly. Children cannot pay attention to anything because they're constantly changing images. They're watching TV all the time, so then their attention span is nothing if they want to just have them play with toys or whatever, because all they're seeing is these things and images and putting another thing in, and I need something else to entertain me. That's not good. And we as adults can be the same way. Do you know what? Got to go to this thing. I mean, thank God for technology. I mean, this phone helps me out, and I'm thankful for it, and it does a lot of things for me. But, you can spend a lot of time multitasking and doing stuff that you don't need to do. These are all tools, but we don't want to let them manage us. Because you can spend your time going from thing to thing, checking this on the computer and checking in with these people and updating this, and I got to call this person. And we can get so fragmented that we're not, our heart is just like under this, these layers, and we can't even hear our heart because there's so many things going around in our head. And that's the way the world lives. I'm so busy. I just have so much to do, and they're going from thing to thing, but it's created. It's self-created. Most of it. We don't have to live like that. We've created that. What's the world doing anyway? What is so important anyway? Have we really changed that much from Jesus' time? No, we haven't. Not when you get down to it. In parts of the world, it really hasn't changed that much. I mean, you don't have all the technology. But what is so important? We have all these modes of communication, which is just talking to people. When you get down to it, just something, the best form of communication is just being able to see somebody face to face and have a conversation. But we think we have to do all this stuff and all this exchange of money. Well, what's it do? It dulls our spiritual sensitivity. And people are so caught up with all these things going on and all this, you know, busyness and whatever, that the Word of God seems like foolishness to them. The reality of what is, that we are walking through this world, supernatural, I mean, we're spiritual beings walking through with the supernatural power of God living inside of us, and that these type of words, they seem so foreign to people because this is not where most people live. At all. So to think you're going to say something to something natural and it's going to change goes against everything people understand. Why? Because they don't have any understanding of spiritual things. But it completely makes sense when you look at the Bible and see that if we are speaking the way God spoke, He spoke the worlds into existence. Jesus came and He spoke to fevers. He spoke to people. He went around saying, this will happen, this be, this go. That's the way He operated. And He was a man. He is God, 100% God, 100% man. But He didn't walk as God. He didn't do these things just because He's Jesus. He did these things as an anointed man of God, when the Holy Spirit came on him. Well, that's the way we're up. That's why he said, he cursed the fig tree and he said, now whoever does this, you can do the same thing. Was he telling the disciples that they could have done the same thing? Yeah. When they were out in the middle of the sea and that big storm came up and he was sleeping, then he gets up and he rebukes the storm and he looks at him, says, what about you guys? Where's your faith? What's going on? You've walked with me. You've been with me. He expected something to see, you can do it. Well, this is the way we're supposed to walk. Now, this, of course, this goes completely against our natural minds. You think, well, how am I saying something going to change? Well, when you realize that the power of the living God is backing up your words, is there anything He can't do? No, He's just bound Himself, and He won't work outside what He's bound Himself to. So in other words, He's not going to just come in and dance into your life in spite of what you do. It's not going to happen. People are waiting for God to override His Word instead of cooperating with Him and say, well, I know, you know, and just make it, I'm not doing anything, I'm just begging you, but I'm either waiting for God to override His Word and come in and do something independent of them. When He told us there are certain situations we need to say something to and expect it to happen. And He said, if you speak to it and you don't doubt, it's going to happen. Period. And we have to get more convinced with this word than we are with the way other people are doing stuff, because they're not looking to spiritual things. They don't believe. Don't ever let a sinner tell you what the Bible says. Well, what about this in the Bible? Who cares? I don't have to answer you. Well, what about this? If that's really true, what? You don't even believe in God. You are not even on the same plane to understand anything I say afterwards. You're not spiritually going to discern any of this. So don't fall into that trap. Well, what about this? What about no? The first thing you need to do is decide you're going to bow the knee to Jesus. Then stuff will make sense. Until you do, yeah, it's going to be a bunch of, you're not going to understand it. And that's the way it is. Don't get caught up in that. No, he said, Jesus here stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and served them. No, we can speak to things, and they have to go. What's the key, though? Now, listen here carefully, because a lot of people malign what we're talking about right here, okay? Blab it, grab it. Name it, claim it. Say all kinds of stuff. And there, it's ignorance. Okay, I didn't say it. Brother Hagin didn't say it. They didn't write the scripture. It's what the Bible said. Jesus just flat out said, this is what's going to happen. Now, but he did not say, whatever you say will happen. He did not say that. He didn't say, well, if you say it, that's what people said. Well, you just say I can just say anything. No, that's not what he said either. What Romans, we're going to read other scriptures. He said, if you believe it in your heart and speak it, that thing will, and don't doubt, don't change, don't say, well, there it goes. I'm going to say to it. There, mountain, go. Doesn't look like it's going. Do you think it's going? I don't know if it's going. Nope, I think it's going. All right, nope, you're going. I told you to go. I don't know, though. I don't know if it's going. I don't think it's going to. That's doubting. That's wavering. That's going, I think it's going to happen. I don't. See, he said don't do that. But he also said you had to believe. So this means when people say, well, I just believe I'm going to be the president of the United States. See, that's foolishness. That's not going to happen. See, that doesn't work. That's just stupidity. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what he said. You couldn't believe that. Well, I just believe I'm going to win the lottery. If that works, why don't you just believe you're going to have $1 million tomorrow and just make yourself a million? You can't believe that. See, you only can believe what God said. And if you believe what he said, you're believing, you're not making him do anything either. You know, people say, well, you're telling God what to do. No, you're not. No, you're not. If he told us that we could have certain things and that he would do certain things, and we say, okay, we give the command to do certain things, that'd be like if I gave you my checkbook, you could only write checks for what I authorized you to and for the money I had. Well, God has given us his word, and if we'll say and agree with him and believe it and say it, that's what will come to pass. You can't believe other stuff. You can't just make something up. And this is where people get messed up. And then it doesn't work. And they say, well, that just doesn't work. No, it works. Jesus said it works. If it doesn't work, we ought to be honest enough to say, well, maybe I missed it somewhere. I didn't say it right. But don't just throw the whole thing out. But no, he said, if we'll believe in our heart, say it with our mouth, it will come to pass. Don't doubt. Don't change, don't move, stay on it, speak it, it will come to pass. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. We're stirring ourselves up. I don't care. You can hear this stuff for years and it not really, that you're not, it's not impacting your life like it should. We're stirring ourselves up to do what the Word says. And it's not hard. We can do it. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe this works? This we're just going to look at the Word, because it doesn't matter what I say. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Now this is what Romans 8 is referring to. Romans 8 says, the word is near you. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is what it's quoting. Now notice what it's saying. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven, that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over to the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. So he's saying, this thing that I'm going to say to you, it's not super complicated, and it's not way off that over there or way up in heaven, and you just have to have something, you know, to go get it, or way across the sea. He said it's very near you. In other words, it's not hard. It's easy. We can do this. He's saying it's right here. He said, verse 14, the word is very near you, where? In your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. This isn't even a New Testament thing. This is what he told the Israelites to do. This is in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Verse 15, see, now notice this. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. He said, I've put it before you. This is not a hard thing. This isn't way over here. This isn't for only the super smart people, but this is near you. Where? In your mouth and in your heart. See, I've put good and evil before you. We can walk in this. We can do this. We have the power. We have the authority. We've been given the authority of Almighty God to do this, and sometimes we just sit there, and it's like we got the gun cocked, the gun loaded, and we're sitting there, and you're right up to the problem, and you're just like, don't pull the trigger. Get distracted, go over here, a thought of depression or discouragement comes to you, and you're like, just go over here, and you just wallow in that for a while, and you don't take advantage of what's been given to you, and you just waste some of your life. We've all done it. You waste some of your life thinking on things that aren't even true for us. Half the time it doesn't ever come to pass, but you get discouraged and down. When the reality is, let your heart receive this tonight, that it's simple, that God Almighty came to earth and made a way for us and said, if you'll believe what I say in your heart, we talked a lot about that, with your heart, grab it, with your heart. This is not your head. You grab it, you believe it in your heart, and then you give a command. And if you give the command and you say, that's it, I'm sticking with that, and then you just say the same thing and believe it, it will come to pass. It's that simple. And we need to be simplistic when it comes to these things. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't say, how can that be? It doesn't matter how it can be. If God said it, if that's the way He operates, that's the way Jesus operated, He gave commands, then if we have, that's the way we got born again. It says it. That's the way we believed it and we said it. So if we believe something, we say it, that's it, we go on and we just thank God for it and said, no, I said it, it's going to come to pass, and it will. And if we'll just be simplistic like this, don't be so complicated that you talk yourself out of it. Just grab this right now. God is speaking to this group. He's speaking to us and everybody that's within the sound of my voice on the audio, that you need to get back to just the simplicity of the gospel. He made it too. It's not hard. It is not far off. It is right in your heart and in your mouth. Just get up. If you know the word, then work the word. Believe it and don't be moved out of it. You speak the word and you say it. No, this is the way it shall be in my life. And you just stay there and say, that's the way it's going to be. And the devil tries to say, well, it doesn't look like it's changing. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm believing and I'm believing with my heart. I don't believe with my eyes. I don't believe with my ears. I don't care. I don't believe with my feelings. None of that moves me. I said it. Therefore, I gave the command, and it will happen. And don't doubt, don't get moved off it. It is that simple. It is that simple. And when we get centered up and quit waffling and quit wavering and quit trying to figure stuff out and just take Him at His word, and if your heart, and I know people's hearts are jumping up right now and you're rising up and you're taking this right now, don't be pushed off it. You take it, and when you go back into your life, into the circumstance, you get it to where you have it in here. You just believe, you take a hold of it right now. You take a hold of it and you say, okay, that's mine, and I see it. Now when you go into a circumstance and you see it, You wait till you get it in here. I'm not saying you wait for a long time, but you look at the Word until you say, yeah, I see that, I can believe that, and then when you're ready, you release your faith. How do you release it? You speak to it. You speak to whatever needs to be spoken to. If it's in your body, you say, body, line up. If it's a sickness, you curse that sickness just like Jesus did, just like he did with that fever. He rebuked it. If a fever was coming on you, you say, fever, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I curse you, dry up from the roots, and leave my body. With your heart, something in the spirit realm happens when you do that. It's an energy. You have to see it. You have to realize you're not dealing with just natural stuff. You're not dealing with just your vocal cords. You're dealing with your spiritual man that is going and releasing some power and going and making that happen. You see that happen and you say, that's what's going to happen. I believe it. I spoke it. You see the death blow being dealt at that point. And you stay there. You say, no, don't be moved off it. Well, it still hurts. Doesn't matter. It's gone. And if you'll stay there, I've seen this over and over. And things will change. And don't go, oh, well, it doesn't look like it. No, that's what we talked about, believing with your heart. You don't be moved by that. You say, no, I said it. It's got to go. Jesus said it would. It'll go. Just let the simplicity of the Word speak to you tonight. Verse 15, he says, see, I have set before you life and good. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. We are all faced with this right today. I don't care how old you are. It's 2013. We all have death and life set before us today. We have a choice. What am I going to do? There are people that go, I don't believe that. Guess what? Not going to work. Somebody that says, I don't believe it. No more than somebody says, I don't believe that Jesus stuff. Power's there to get them born again. And if they believe it and act on it, guess what? Something happens and they're changed on the inside. We have to believe. It's operated by faith. We serve a huge God. We're talking about the power of the living God. I mean, this makes so much sense when you look at it in light. You can go back through the Word of God and see how God's come through again and again and again supernaturally. He's just telling us the same thing, that same power is available to us. It just makes complete sense. I believe our spiritual eyes are just being brought up to a new level right now. I can tell it. I mean, I can tell it. There's in this room, people are getting up and you're seeing something. It's so simple when you see it. God has ordained something. He's saying, I've given you the ammo. I've loaded the gun. Here you go. Pull the trigger. And if we'll pull the trigger, things have to change. They do. They do. They have to. Because God himself is backing it up. He's the one, he's the power behind the commands. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worshiped other gods and serve them. See, same thing back then. You can be distracted. You can be moved away. Well, I don't know. That sounds good. I want to believe that. But you know what? I got this to take care of. You can be distracted. Put other things up. A lot of people are putting other things as their God and not God himself. No, there is something about us pressing in and pressing through stuff. I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about you drumming something up, but I'm saying there are things that are going to try to get you to move off him. And we do just need to push through that and just say, no, I will do what he told me to do. I'm pushing this away. Oh, my flesh wants to do that. Shut up, flesh. I'm pushing through. Because things will distract us on this earth. Verse 18, I announce to you today, so he says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now notice, he's given them a choice. He didn't say this had to be this way. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life, and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. He said, it's right there. I've set it before you. Choose life. I've set it before you. You can go this way, you can go this way, but if you'll choose, and it's not a hard thing. He said it's not a hard thing. So don't say, oh, if only I could, if we only could do this and this, and if I only had this time and I could do that, then I could. No, he didn't say that. He said it's right before you. You choose. You choose. You make the choice and go after it and say, believe it. Just take it and decide, I'm going to be a believer, not a doubter, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to see what God has laid out for me. That simple. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful, God, for your word. Lord, you didn't make it complicated. You allowed us to walk in this. You've given us the ability to walk in this. It's your authority that we're using. It's not us. It's not us generating anything. Lord God, it's us believing what you said, behaving just like you, doing what you told us to do, and believing in our heart and saying it with our mouth, just like when we are saved, we believed it, we spoke it out, and it happened. And God, the same thing is true today, that if we'll believe whatever you have promised in your word, or whatever you've told us personally, things that aren't directly in the word, but things that are for our life or our family, if we'll believe it and speak it out, and just keep speaking, just stay on it and believe it and not turn from it, we'll have whatever we say. You said that's the way it is, God. We believe you. Jesus, we believe you. And Lord, we just say that we'll act on that word. We'll act on that word. We'll walk in that word. We'll be an example of the goodness and the faithfulness of God to everybody we meet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful. Lord God, show us where we need to apply this. Lord, you said it's right before us. It's right before us. We have a choice. Lord, show us where we haven't been applying it. Show us where we need to step it up. Show us what things we need to tackle and to say and to believe. And Lord God, show us the avenue you have for us. Lord, we said that we opened our hearts. When we started, we said, Lord, we open our hearts to you to teach us. Lord, you've been teaching us tonight. You've been speaking to our hearts tonight. And Lord, we just say that we'll put it to practice. We said that we would be doers of the word. We're not hearers only. We are doers of the word. And we say that we'll be doers of the word going forward. We'll say what you told us to say. Lord, we'll watch our mouth. We'll watch our mouth. The things that we've said that don't agree. Maybe we've said we've gone well for a little while and then we said, well, I don't know where is God or what's going on and I don't know how we're going to get out of this. We turn away from that. Lord, we're going to say the right things with our mouth. We're going to say the right things with our mouth. Lord, we won't be double-tongued. We won't yield our mouth to Satan at one point and then yield our mouth to God at another point. Lord, we just purpose in our heart by your grace and your strength that we're going to watch our tongue. We won't let words of death come out of our mouth. You said that you set before us life and death. God, we're not going to go down that death path. We're not going to even take a step down that death path. We're not going to speak words of death over ourselves or over our bodies, or over our loved ones, over our workplace, over our finances. Lord, we choose to only speak life over all areas of our lives. Lord, help us. We ask you this day. Say this, if you mean it with your heart, if you can believe it. Say it, Lord. Say, Lord, help me.
Going forward.
To only speak words of life.
And not of death.
Words of life. At all times.
Help me to keep my mouth.
And to speak your words.
Lord, I'll do it
with your help,
by your grace,
by your strength,
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you said that, meant it. God is going to keep you. God is going to help you. You may at times feel pressure. You may feel like I have to let this out, but God's grace is sufficient, and that's the time you need to hold your tongue, and you need to rely on his strength. Nobody can make you say anything. No demon in hell can make anything bad come out of your mouth. You can feel the pressure so bad that you want to cry out to God. You want to let all kinds of stuff come out of your mouth. But nobody can make you say it. And by his grace, we have asked him. And the next time you feel that pressure, instead of letting those death words come out of your mouth, you start letting words of life come out of your mouth, whether you feel like it or not. We just say that we'll speak words of life. We'll start speaking the word. Even though we may not feel like it, we'll speak what he says. And we will let only words of life come out. No, Lord, we speak your word. We will say that, no, we're going to be overcoming. We say that, no, we are strong when we feel weak. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. No, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No, I am not going under. No, I am not going to be destroyed. No, that person, I don't care what it looks like, that person's not going to destroy me. I'm coming over. I'm going over. I choose not to agree with the enemy that's trying to destroy me. I choose to agree with the word of God that says that I am a victor, that I am more than a conqueror, that greater is he who's in me than anything that's in the world, any demonic spirit, any influence of Satan, that I am strong, and I choose to say that, and I choose to speak only words of life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe this is a serious thing. Tonight, as us to get together, we have made a declaration that we are choosing life. He said that. He said it before us. Life and death. And we've chosen to speak life and not speak death. I believe things are going to change. I believe we're only scratching the surface, but I believe things are changing because we've made this commitment. We've made this change and said, God, you help us, you show us, I won't speak death any longer. No more death is coming out of my mouth. Lord God, remind us, check us. If there's anything unconsciously that we've been saying that we don't even realize it's death. So we just ask you to quicken it to us. When we're about to say something that would be death and maybe we haven't recognized it, Lord, show us. Lord, put your finger on everything in our life that is death, that we are speaking death, that we are yielding to the wrong thing, that we're choosing to go with the status quo. Or we're saying things we heard our parents say, or we're saying things we hear our siblings say, or that we've heard on TV, or that we're joining in with coworkers. Lord, we just say, put your finger on it, show us so that, or fellow students, anybody, that they may say, oh, well, isn't just bad how this is going, and don't you feel, no, we choose not to go along with that. Lord, show us what anything that is death, and help us. And show us, and we'll change. We just declare, we'll change. We'll change. We're changing. We're changing. We're changing. We're different people. We're different. We only give place to the words of God. We only give place to the words of the Almighty. We only give place to life. To life. To life. We won't speak it over our children. We won't speak death over our children. We will only speak life over our children. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We say that we'll speak the words of life. We'll say what you say. And thus we'll give you an avenue in our life and in the lives of our children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I think things are changing in the spiritual realm. I'm not just saying that. We are going up. We are going up. Thank you, Lord God.